What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Witta Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Mr. HQ Trivia himself, Gary Witta.
How fortunate that the first one back should be on a Wednesday.
Exactly. It all fell into place.
I get to usher in the new year with you.
Almost like we planned it. Now, I you know, you kids are out there every day playing this HQ Trivia.
I love it.
You've told me about. I know that a guy talks to you on green screen, asks you questions.
Yeah.
You somehow can win real money.
How
much did you win?
I've won a couple of games in the past.
Sure.
Like $10 here, $12 there. Yeah. But over the holidays on New Year's Day,
yeah,
I won $117.
Look at that.
In one fell swoop.
There you go.
It was a real win. Scott gave me a shout out.
Yeah.
There's only I think 700,000 people. We're playing question one, and by question 12, there were 17 people.
Still alive.
33 people were left, I think, at the end, and 17 people won.
Oh, wow.
And that feeling was the luck, because I didn't know it. I didn't know the answer to the final question.
You guessed?
So I took a random guess.
Yeah.
And the feeling, and you'll understand this now, was not unlike the feeling that you get right before a chicken dinner in the final circle of PUBG. Now your heart is pounding.
Yeah,
you never felt so alive.
Right. Yeah,
the like that, but with trivia.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but with trivia.
But with trivia.
So now you're up for a $2,000 prize. I saw you tweet something else out that you like afterwards that you have a chance at real money now or something.
I don't know about
that. I thought you screen capped something.
I split a $2,000. So $2,000 was the prize pool.
No, I got it.
And I think however many people split it.
Okay.
It wound up at $117 a piece.
Okay.
Nice. So at some point I'll cash it out on PayPal and go
retire.
Maybe get a chicken dinner.
There you go. Well, all right, cool.
Yeah. Are you cultivating this? Is this
I have a beard if you're an audio listener right now. Well, not a beard. Right now I have a 5 o'clock shadow.
It's coming in nicely.
And thanks to people supporting us yesterday on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, I have to keep it for at least a month.
Oh, so is this a charity thing that you're doing?
No, it's a pay for kind of funny to keep the lights on thing.
But okay.
Everybody always wants me to try the beard. And so this
could be a good look for you.
I went to a cabin in Vermont and just stopped shaving. And then I came back and I haven't shaved since. I've tried to trim
it. So how much growth is this that you got?
This is like what I probably stopped shaving. Saturday would have been a week. So this Saturday
will
be 2 weeks.
I got to tell you, this for me is about a week, which is not like I could never do it.
Yeah.
Like my beard never comes in the way that you want it to.
We'll see.
And at some point, I don't know how much of a beard you've grown in the past.
Never.
But at some point, you're going to get to the itchy phase.
Oh, no, it's itchy now.
You desperately are going to want to shave it off,
yeah,
but you got to push through it.
I'm pushing.
Yeah.
I'm pushing hard.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. We love talking to you, so make sure you go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to be part of the show. You can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And if you're watching live, you have a job to do. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So at the end of the show, we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Yesterday was Kinda Funny Day, our third anniversary, the beginning of year four for the company. We announced a whole bunch of different stuff that you can go look at on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for free. We're doing a thing called the PlayStation VR show. Today, of course, if you go to patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can watch us record the Kinda Funny Games Cast Game of the Year with Andrea and Andy at 3 p.m. And then also at 5 p.m., we are releasing on patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames the Extra Life documentary. We did a behind-the-scenes, hour-long documentary very quietly that will go up for everybody supporting us at the dollar level. It'll eventually get up on YouTube for everybody else. And if you go there right up today at 5 p.m. Pacific time, you can watch live and have a little chat along with everybody else watching. We're putting up a live streaming link. Finally, the next big thing for me to tell you is that we are currently less than 700 subs away from 230,000 subs on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. So if you're one of the many, many, many thousands of audio listeners only who are in your car right now bopping to work or bopping around, I guess the house, not at work yet. Some people still on break. You know what I mean? It's weird.
I'm still on break.
Well, you're on permanent vacation.
I'm still very much on break. You managed to drag me in for this.
If you're an audio listener, it'd be great if you go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, toss us that sub. If you have a Google account, you have a YouTube account, and it's pretty easy to do. It would mean a lot for us for a vanity number, so we can shove it in Funhouse's face.
How many subs do you have to
face.
Get before they send you one of those little play
buttons? We got buttons.
You got one?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, 100,000, you get the silver button.
Okay.
And then what is it, Kevin? Is it a million for a gold button?
Yeah.
Million for a gold button, and then is it 5 million for a diamond button?
I believe it's 10 million.
10 million for a diamond bug.
Wow.
Yeah. Fancy. We'll never see a diamond
bug. Never.
Gold,
never,
maybe, though.
Maybe gold, yeah. 230 is the sights right now. Let's see if we can get it and crush it. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I like how jazzed we are right now, Kevin. There's so much energy. It'll be interesting to see when the vacation ends and catches up to us and crushes us.
That was like Monday for me.
Yeah, I know. You're sick.
I'm in
nothing. Six items on the Roper Report.
Half a dozen!
All right. I say six because the printout we originally have, of course, Gary, says five. Mm-hmm. But literally...
No, I literally watched breaking news happen right in front of me.
As we went live, that guy, Jason Schreier, over at Kotaku, put up the following story. I'm going to read in full. IGN fires editor-in-chief for alleged misconduct. The massive gaming website IGN has fired its editor-in-chief, Steve Butts, after an investigation into alleged workplace misconduct, the company said today. Quote, IGN initiated an investigation into alleged misconduct involving Steve Butts. As a result of the investigation, the company has appropriately determined to part ways with Mr. Butts, said IGN general manager Mitch Galbraith in a statement to Kotaku this afternoon. This comes 2 months after former IGN employee Callie Plagey accused her former coworker Vince Ingenito of sexually harassing her and other women. Parentheses. Ingenito was let go in March 2017. The Monday after Plagey made those accusations, IGN's editorial staff had several meetings about what had happened and eventually decided to put out a statement committing to fix what is broken within the company's culture. During one of those meetings, someone accused Steve Butts of harassment, according to a person who was in the room. The accuser did not share more details in this meeting, but IGN consequently began investigating what had happened. Butts had been working from home since then, according to one person familiar with the going-ons of the company. Throughout November and December, Butts did not come into the office as staff were left whispering and waiting to see whether he would come back. One IGN staffer described it to me as awkward and uncomfortable, the elephant in the room as they worked. In Plagey's statements about Ingenito, she mentioned a boss who she felt had mishandled the situation. That boss, Plagey told me in November, was Butts. Quote, he told me, don't be so uptight about it, she said then. As I said on Twitter, this is back to her quote. As I said on Twitter, he would also say things like, I just want this unpleasantness to be over, like we were causing him a lot of problems, end quote. Butts did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Unexpected day. Unexpected news for coming back to work.
You worked at IGN for a long time.
I did. Yeah, I know everyone involved with this story. Crazy. I'm totally knocked. I don't know. This just happened. This just broke. This is a lot to process for somebody who knows these people at IGN but doesn't know this situation.
So your time at IGN doesn't necessarily give you any insight on this in particular.
No. If memory serves, yeah. I mean, Steve was my boss at IGN when I was on editorial before I moved over to video. Of course, I worked with Vince there. I was there when he got hired. If memory serves, I never worked with Callie. I remember interviewing her for a position that she didn't get at that time, but then she later got the position there, but I think it was after we already started Kind of Funny. Right. I, of course, know Callie and think she's awesome, and talk to her at GameSpot and work with her here and there on different stuff, and I think we've collaborated on E3 shows and stuff, but this is all what a fucking shitty situation.
Well, I mean, and again, I don't know anything about this either, but I will say in general, I think what we're seeing, obviously, this is something that kicked off big time last year and is obviously continuing to be a big wave going forward, and rightly so. I mean, it's there's a reckoning happening right now.
As there
I
should
think
be.
Is long overdue, and I think it is applying not just to those who harass and abuse, but also those who enable and look the other way and are complicit
or allow
simply just don't know how to deal with it and say things like, can't you take a joke, or, you know, I just kind of don't help.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the blowback and the reckoning is happening, and a lot of people are being rooted out.
And that was the big thing, I think, you know, this is again breaking into all these different things, but taking away from what the original IGN statement was on the day where there was the walkout, where they didn't want to work and they finally released an editorial statement of the fact that I think what weighed on them was the fact that they felt in the company that they had as a company had failed to protect one of their own. And I think that's what this speaks to.
Yeah. And I think it's so difficult for us as men to fully ever really, you know, you try to empathize, but I think I've never known what it's like to come to work or to walk down the street in dread.
Yeah.
As many women have to, and I expected to, as a matter of course, in our culture, not just in video games and entertainment, but in every professional field, in every walk of life. It's you know, I talk to my wife about it all the time. She, you know, she's explained to me, like, you don't know what it's like for women sometimes to be, you know, just walking down the street,
yeah,
and to get grief and abuse and people that won't leave you alone, and, you know, to be the butt of jokes, and sure, there's nothing embedded in our society and in our corporate and societal cultures right now. We don't say like, I'm trying to get into the habit of doing it more. Like, it hasn't happened to me recently, but like, if I was in a room and someone were to say something that was like not cool, we have to get better at saying things like, dude, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of just like going, you know, and just letting it go.
Well, then
you've got to challenge this stuff when it happens. That's got to become the norm.
And the other side of it is, when you're challenged on it, it isn't to bristle up and plant your feet and fight. It's to try to understand why someone's saying that and what the, because I think back to the things I've said or done in the past. And like, even if I watch like my old IGN videos, and I'm not even talking about up at noon, I'm talking about original stuff, things I would say in reviews that are published on the site, I was like, oof. I would never say that today, because now I understand I've obviously matured, but I've had conversations and people are speaking out about like, no, that does offend us. That does change us. And you're like, fuck. And I make these mistakes all the time. You know what I mean? I edit things out that I've said or apologize to people for things I did say on a live stream or in the moment of a joke or whatever.
Oh, well, I mean, I can think of, you know, I have the kind of brain that will do this, you know, in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, sure. My brain will say, hey, remember that stupid ass shit that you did or said 20 years ago? And you go, oh my God. Right. And you want, you know, and that can, kind of thing inspires you, hopefully, to be a better person. But it's not good enough to just say, like, well, I don't abuse women. Like, but okay, that's a start, I guess. Like, you've achieved, like, the basic standard to kind of be a human.
Be a person, yeah.
But beyond that, what else are you doing and what aren't you doing? Like, you have to be the guy that says, that's not cool. Even when you know, like, I'm the least confrontational person in the world. Like, oh, this food is terrible. How's your food, sir? Oh, very nice, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't want a confrontation.
Yeah.
But we have to be able to be more willing to do that and to challenge these things and to be allies and to be supportive because we have largely created this problem, and it's our job now, I think, to try and, the pendulum's got to swing back the other way. We've got to start putting this shit right.
Do you think, have we built a society, I'm not talking about gaming in general, but I'm talking about just how we communicate with each other, where I feel like when I offend somebody and they tell me that in person, we have a conversation about it and explain their point, it's like, oh great, I'm so sorry. When you apologize, I feel, on Twitter, or even probably right now in the Twitch comments, it's the brevity of it where I feel like matters escalate so much quicker. Does that make sense? Where I'm saying, like, I feel like nowadays it is like, I'm sure right now in the Twitch chat, Kevin can look, someone in there is calling us SJWs. Just good for the fact that we're talking about.
I would wear that label proudly.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I mean, like, come on now. You don't want to be, who doesn't want social justice? That's always my argument with
this.
Who doesn't want people to be happy and feel like they're respected around here?
Right.
But okay. But I mean, that's the thing, was I feel like there's now this shorthand for it to dismiss things so quickly. And that goes into this, there's like these huge problems of somebody's been sexually harassed at their place of business. And then there's the little problems of, well, obviously I said this in a joking fashion and I offended somebody. But when you start going back and forth with an argument, Kevin's throwing up the right thing. Here we go.
What's happening in the chat right now?
They weren't, like, now they are.
Now they are.
Now they're all throwing it in.
I'm just saying, well, you know how with the YouTube comments, maybe not even our comments. Of course, we're kind of funny. We're the best friends. We all know this. But I'm just throwing it out there that I feel like we've lost the minute detail in these conversations, I feel. And I hate when I see people picking sides, or when, yesterday, I forget what it was even, but on our all-day stream, somebody said something. We're like, oh, we don't mean like that, blah, blah, blah. And like, somebody in the chat was like, oh, you can't even make a joke in this day and age, and blah, blah. And it's like, well, no, you can make the joke.
You can make a joke. You just can't make a joke that makes someone else feel miserable or made fun of. Just like, you can be funny. Just try not to do it at the expense of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And try to, you know, empathize and try to imagine how that makes someone else feel.
Right.
Empathy is, I think, is like, it's the magic bullet that can, it's the cure-all.
Yeah.
For all of society's ills, I think, if you can just understand and truly feel, put yourself in someone else's shoes and feel how that would make you feel if that was done to you.
Right.
And it's often difficult for us, but I do think that just in general, we're very, very slowly now trending back in the right direction, and more of the iceberg is becoming visible every day. And you start to realize, this is a really, really serious systemic problem throughout society, and it's more, and it's becoming more and more visible, and we're being asked to think about it and consider it more, which is good. We should be doing all of those things, and I hope it gets better.
Yeah, me too. Moving on to more run-of-the-mill video game news. Kinect is super dead. This is via Polygon. Microsoft has ended production of the Kinect adapter, the USB accessory that is required to connect the Xbox One Kinect sensor to an Xbox One S, Xbox One X, or Windows device, the company confirmed to Polygon today. Quote, after careful consideration, we decided to stop manufacturing the Xbox Kinect adapter to focus attention on launching new, higher fan-requested gaming accessories across Xbox One and Windows 10, a Microsoft spokesperson said in a statement to Polygon. As for any plans to bring back the item in the future, the representative declined to discuss Microsoft's product roadmap, but said the adapter will no longer be available.
Good.
Good. Thank God.
Good.
Fucking Kinect.
Rest in peace.
I feel like there's an interesting alternate reality where everybody's like, oh no, TV, we don't want our Xbox doing a TV thing and all this Kinect stuff. And Microsoft goes, you know what? We believe in this vision and that's what we're going to do and we're going to make it cool to you. And I wonder on that train of thought where Xbox One is and what the Kinect looks like and if people actually do like it. Because I tried in the beginning. I had it hooked up to the TV, Xbox on,
I did
all these
too.
Different things. And it was like a cool idea.
I wanted to believe in it. I mean, when they first demoed it, I remember thinking, all right, okay.
Skittles.
I mean, it felt like what it was, like a reaction to the Wii. We got to do something, you know, we got to
how do we get those mainstream gamers to play
try and get
stuff.
People moving around in front of the TV and not on the couch, because we obviously at that time was still, I think if we had the luxury at the time of knowing what a bubble the motion control was going to be, other companies wouldn't have chased, so you know, because obviously PlayStation did it as well with the Move. They were all chasing it.
Yeah.
And by the time they got it onto the market, we began to realize, oh, people don't really want to do this all much. I tell you, I remember very specifically the moment for me. I was at a kid's birthday party, we had a party at my house, and there was I think it was a birthday party for someone, and there was a bunch of kids there. Other people had brought their kids, and we had the Kinect set up, and. If nothing else, kids are supposed to love it. It's great for like kids' parties and stuff. And we put on something, I can't remember what it was, but after about 20 minutes, one of the kids came over to me and said, can we play a game that has controllers?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that's it. It's dead.
That's bad.
Like,
that's bad news.
That's the ultimate test failed right there. Well, and it was always shit. It was shitty technology. I know that they did some interesting things with it outside of the game space in kind of, in the research field like that. But as a game controller, I mean, can you think of even one... Is that because but that one game? There isn't even that one game where you went, it was great. Like Dance Central.
It was
like
a thing where there were a lot of cool ideas. That Sesame Double Fine did a lot of cool shit with it. That Sesame Street game, you're like, all right, that's interesting. And they had he was my first Up at Noon guest. He came through. My Up at Noon pilot guest that you never even saw. But it was one of the Double Fine guys, and he came by and did Happy Action Theater, Happy Action Time, where it was a play. And it was like, oh, that's a neat idea. Is interesting about is all these different things. But the eulogy on Kinect is the fact that Microsoft, and this is the problem with Xbox One, why they're behind all these different things, they just didn't believe in their vision. They set up this vision, they published it, they put it out there, and every gamer was like, no fucking thanks. And they were like, oh fuck, sorry, we'll change it. Well, no, we'll do this. And it was like, well, if you don't believe in it, how are we going to believe in it? And I think there's interesting parallels between it and PlayStation VR.
I mean, they doubled down on it to some extent, right? They released it first for the 360.
Yeah.
And then when they launched Xbox One, by bundling it, I mean, that was, I would say that will go down in, I mean, they have for the most part managed to recover.
Yeah.
But that will go down, I think, of like the, in the list of like great gaming fails.
Yeah.
The bundling of the Kinect with the Xbox One held back. And I think muted the launch of the Xbox One so much because it gave them a disadvantage in price.
Yeah.
For something that people didn't really want, that there wasn't really a great use case for it. There was no killer app. There was nothing people went, oh, I got to have that. There was no Wii Sports. There was nothing that really made you, that really proved why it needed to exist. And they sadly tried to force it onto consumers by saying, no, you've got to buy it.
Yeah.
If you want to buy an Xbox One, you've got to buy this thing. But there was no real reason to it. And I think that's why PS4 is still ahead today, because they lost so much ground. People weren't buying this extra thing. Why should I pay an extra $100 for this thing that I don't feel like I need?
Right.
And that's why eventually they had to, we're now in this phase now where we're seeing the final steps of them kind of pretending the Kinect never really existed. They did kind of the soft relaunch of the Xbox One when they unbundled the Kinect
and
started to change the narrative. And you see more and more games. You know, no one's building games for Kinect anymore.
No,
the killing off of the adapter, I think that is pretty much, it's the end.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Rightly so. It was a bold but failed experiment. I personally hated it. It didn't work. Kinect, do this. What were you say? Xbox. Change
on.
The channel.
Xbox, yeah. Go to HBO, stuff like that. Yeah.
It didn't listen. It would respond inappropriately to commands. It never did what it was supposed to
right.
do. It was just junk.
It was junk, and I agree with that. I just would. For me, with the Xbox One launch, I feel like you could have made up ground if they actually believed in their vision of it. Of we can share all. You can't share your games with people, but this is how the family system works online. It is this TV box. We are sticking.
They had to walk all that back.
I know, and that's why everybody's like, "Oh, well, we don't believe in anything you're fucking saying or selling. That's why we're not going to buy the Xbox One. That's why we don't believe in Kinect, and that's why we know you'll eventually come."
Well,
to
you say
silence.
They didn't believe in the vision. I think it would have been a mistake for them to just keep tilting into that vision that clearly consumers were rejecting. You remember that first? I remember now to this day. Remember how much fun Adam Boyce had with the you share a game on the PlayStation.
They
were laughing at them.
Yeah.
They were laughing at them because the sharing was overcomplicated. They leaned into this multimedia. Yeah, yep. I understand it, right?
Entertainment hub.
You want to be on HDMI 1. I get it. You understand, you want to be the basic box and running the cable through it. I thought it's still my HDMI 1 because I like to be able to flip back and forth from cable TV easily. That was a nice feature. But they lent into all this original programming that never appeared. Xbox Studios, that got killed.
Steven Spielberg's Halo or whatever the hell.
All of that stuff. It never materialized. People weren't happy with it. PlayStation over here going, oh, if you want to play games, come over here. We're $100 cheaper.
Yeah.
You love the PlayStation. Here's how you share a game. Like, they just devastated Xbox in the kind of media narrative.
Before we even got out of the blocks.
Oh, my God.
This was all like at, you know, when we're talking this, pre-launch stuff.
I think they're both very successful systems right now, but PlayStation is measurably ahead.
Yeah.
And it's because of that false start that the Xbox One had.
But here's my thing. My argument is that, yes, it is. But it was the fact that Xbox had already started walking stuff back before we even got to launch.
Right.
Thus, again, saying, like, you don't know what you're selling us. Like, my outlook on how Xbox just fucking blew up on the launch pad at launch changed drastically when we started Kind of Funny. And granted, we're literally talking about pebbles to a giant mountain in terms of, like, risk, reward, all these different things. But in the way that when I come to the audience and I say, all right, cool, the next show is the PlayStation VR show.
Right.
Here's my, and if they all are like, that sounds really stupid, I have to say, and I'm talking about like when I announced it yesterday, I have to have my ducks in a row of being like, why do you think it's stupid? Let me give you my pitch. This is what it's going to be. This is why I think it needs to exist. This is, it's a passion. Like, I believe in that show. I believe in our products. If somebody, it can't be that somebody's like, oh man, like, we announced some new show. Everybody's like, that show sucks. Or we changed one of the shows. That show sucks. And we're like, oh, you don't like that? Sorry, we'll go right back to how it was.
I think
we have to make the case to you why it's great.
That's a universal truth. I mean, it's true. Like when I go pitch a movie in my day job, if when I pitch something to someone that might employ me to write a movie or a TV show or something for them, I always come in and say, here's what I believe. This is the best way to do it. If you don't like that, then you should find someone else because I think this is the vision. You want to come in with a vision and you believe in something and that passion is what carries you over the finish line. If I were to come in and say, okay, so it could be this. Oh, you don't like that? Oh, but it could be that.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like you've got no belief or self-confidence
right.
in what you're doing and you're just trying to kind of make people happy even though it might not be what you want to be doing. And somewhere in, I don't think this is exactly the same case as what Xbox did. I mean, I think they clearly saw that it was being so roundly rejected that to lean further into it, it was like, what? Pick your poison. Do you want to be made to, do you want to be seen to wobble here and redirect, but that in the long term might save you? Or do you want to double down on this business strategy that is probably going to doom you?
But the problem was, right, people were in the internet and me and everybody else, all the commentators, we were all like, this is a stupid strategy before we had the box in our hands. Like, what if, like, they believe someone, Don Matrick, whoever, believed in that whole weird family share thing? Because there was
You know, I remember that first press conference they did when they rolled it all out, and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
People were just rejecting it, like, in real
Call
time.
Call of Duty, TV,
yeah,
Call of Duty, Halo.
TV.
Yeah.
It was not, it did not go over well. And at the same, and again, it played right into this, I mean, I still remember, we all remember that thing with Adam Boyce.
Oh, yeah, and Shuhei.
Right?
Yeah.
And just going,
here's how you share a game on PlayStation 4.
And it was like, oh, man. Like, and it was because Microsoft had given them this open goal.
Yep.
to shoot into.
Yep.
Because if you remember the Don Matrick explanation of how you share a game was right, okay. And he's getting out the flow chart.
If you've
known this person for more than 90 days,
then you can share.
You go, what?
And that was the thing, same thing. People, I mean, don't get me wrong, the PlayStation video with Adam and Shu came out while E3 was happening. That got released on their YouTube channel. But if you remember, when Jack Trent was out there talking about PlayStation, he's like, this is how much it costs. There's no DR. That place went fucking crazy. That like that you know, arena went mad for them talking about that.
Yeah, it was amazing. And if anything, I give Microsoft credit for recovering from something that I think would have killed off a lot of other companies. They had the resources. They weren't going to get, cost them a lot of money, and there was a lot of opportunity cost as well. But they were able to, I think, largely right the ship. But man, what a tremendous failure the Kinect was.
Exactly. So good riddance. Number three, I got to add one to my numbers now. That's going to be tough. I hate math. Amazon has put up 18 unannounced Switch placeholder SKUs on Amazon.com, but already removed like them from the public thing. This is from Reset Era. Basically, a cheap-ass gamer tweeted out this screenshot of all these 18 unannounced SKUs, like no real information in there. Prices were ranging from $59.99 to $99.99. And of course, all the internet sleuths like ourselves put on our hat that this must be pointing to the January Direct that's been rumored forever. Where Nintendo's going to come out and explain, hey, here's what's coming for this year. This is why you got to care about the Switch in 2018.
But the substance of this story seems to be breaking news. More games are coming for the Nintendo Switch.
It's breaking news. Evidence mounting for January Nintendo Direct that's been rumored forever.
Okay. There's going to be a whole bunch of games that are going to get, new games are going
to
be announced.
That'd be the argument there. Okay. Yeah. And then this would just, people want to believe this, of course.
But there is no real substance here in terms of like what the games might
no,
be.
No. Amazon added some stuff that's placeholder for Switch.
Do the Nintendo Directs, do you never know when they might happen, or do they generally tend to happen at like
predictable
times of the year?
Ish. Tim would be a better guy for that exact question, or kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. But to my belief, what it is, I know there was obviously a January one last year. I think they might maybe talk about stuff in January for what's coming up for the rest of the year.
Okay.
But I don't know. But like Smash.
Now would be a good time to do it because they're riding, you know, they're on the crest of a wave. This would be a great time to announce, you know, a bunch of people have got their Switches for the holidays. Yep. You know, new Switches are in the install base is blowing up. Now's the time to really, you know, kind of double down.
100%. Make people excited.
Here's even more stuff.
Here's why you bought this. Here's what you need to be excited about. Just like Mr. Brobot Brian wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, hello, Kinda Funny show hosts and Happy New Year. So with the rumored Nintendo Direct around the corner, what surprises do you think we can expect? EA making a commitment to Nintendo to bring Star Wars Battlefront 2? Rockstar in GTA 5? Bethesda in Fallout 4? I want to know, and inquiring minds want to know. So what do the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts think? Keep on keeping on. Thanks for all you do. Brian.
If you can expect it, is it really a surprise?
Exactly. That's the problem with any surprises, right?
What would you like to see? What do you think is both within the realm of reason, but at the same time be like, oh my God, yes. Like,
I want news on Smash Brothers.
That's gotta be there, right?
It's gotta either be, hey, we're putting out Smash Wii U Deluxe, or hey, we are working on the Switch version of Smash. We want to
show you all full fat Smash Brothers.
We want to show you something because like we, you know, put on Smash yesterday for the stream when Tim Geddes kept the Kinda Funny World Championship away from Nick Scarpino, and it's like, oh man, I always forget how much fun Smash is and how much I hate the Wii U. I'm like, that thing is such a bitch to get working and have it correctly synced all the things we want it to sync to. And it's like, I would love Smash on the go. On my Switch, come into the office, plop it down, play with everybody, be ready to go. And even if it was at this point, just put the carrot on the stick. That we know it's coming, we'll talk more at E3, or it's just going to be, it'll be like Metroid, right? Where it's like, well, that's way a ways out, but it's coming.
You know they're working on it.
I know they're working on it, but I want to know something about it.
The thing I love about
Gary.
The Smash Brothers reveals is that not just the fact that it's coming, but then you have all the kind of the sub-reveals of like, who are the new characters
going to be. Yeah, exactly.
I still remember, I don't remember which iteration of Smash it was, but I remember they did the reveal when you saw Snake come out of the crate, and people just lost their shit.
Yeah, you never knew it was coming. Yeah, it was great. You know, Brian here mentions Bethesda. That's interesting. I don't know if Fallout 4 could run on the Switch, but then again,
Skyrim's running on the Switch.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, then we go ahead, right? Fallout 4 is a bigger new gen game for it, but Doom's running on the Switch, so
the thing that I found amazing, I mean, when I first heard about Skyrim and Doom, I'm thinking, yeah, but come on, this is going to be like the Wii version where people go, yeah, it's there, but it's not the version you'd want to play.
Yeah.
surprisingly, and I've not played them yet myself, but most of the reviews and the coverage I've seen of Skyrim and Doom is they run surprisingly well Switch.
I like Doom on Switch. I've been playing it.
Oh, you tried it?
I've tinkered around with it. Yeah. I enjoy it. I think it's a good fit. It's more of what, you know, this text is super small.
It's like, but you would only get it, though, if the Switch is the only console you have in the house, right? Because if you have an Xbox or a PlayStation, surely you would want it on that first, the more powerful system.
Maybe, but the problem I have is both Doom and Wolfenstein 2, games that I jumped into on PlayStation, were like, oh, I get what these are and I like where they are, and then got distracted by something else. And now there's a million other things to play on my PlayStation, and I'm playing GTA online with Kevin, and I'm doing all these things that I can only do on the PlayStation 4.
Right.
So I think there's more of a probability of me playing further in Doom than on Switch than on my PlayStation.
Just because of the portability?
Exactly. I'm going to be on the plane, turn it on, like, what do I want to play? Oh, Doom. Yeah, I'll run, do another level there, do something like that. But I'm not personally drawn to jump back into either of them, right? So it's like, whatever. I do think that
excuse me,
bless you, Brian shouting out Rockstar in GTA 5 is still interesting. I remember when LA Noir got announced, it was like, huh, I wonder what that means for GTA 5 or anything, because of course they just want to put that on every platform available. But I digress, and we'll have to wait and see, I guess. Speaking of Nintendo, Gregway, number four on the Roper Report, Nintendo has set its sights on an insane install base. This is via Game Informer. Nintendo president Kimishima is setting a lofty goal for the Switch to hit by April 2019, doubling the current install base. In a new Japanese interview, Kimishima, am I saying it right? I think I am. Believes the Nintendo goal for the next financial year, which runs through April 1st, 2018 and March 31st, 2019, should be to hit 20 million Switches sold. When Kimishima originally set a forecast of 10 million units for the Switch's first year and beat that goal handily, already hitting the target install base months ahead of the deadline. As a comparison point, the PlayStation 4 hit 20 million by March 2015 after a November 2013 release, so Kimishima is aiming for roughly the same trajectory as the current market leader. Think they'll hit it, Gary?
How many are they right now? More than 10 already, right?
More than 10, yeah.
Yeah, I think they will.
I think they will too, but it'll be interesting. The only fly in the ointment is that just 2017 was such a banner year, right? To start with Zelda, to have a Mario Kart in there, to have Mario at the end there to close this out, like, there was a lot of holy,
and then all the indies. I mean, again, it was just it's so weird to be talking about Nintendo again in the context of epic success.
Yeah,
because even the Wii, the first Wii, which had a tremendous first year, dropped off very quickly.
Sure.
And I think that's why some people are thinking that even with this incredible first year that the Switch has had, they're still waiting for Nintendo-itis to kick in, and Nintendo's going to Nintendo at some point.
And that's the thing, is like, if they do this January Direct, which I do think they're going to, I think they've got to come out and just knock it out of the park.
If they do the January Direct, I think that will answer a lot of questions.
100%.
I love those Directs too. I really enjoy watching them.
Yeah.
Because they just don't, they just do it in, like, again, that's when you really see the way that Nintendo do things is different. They have a different culture.
Yeah.
They do their own thing. They happen to let Microsoft and Sony fight it out over there, and they're doing something different, both in the products, the way that they
approach.
Yeah, just everything has that weird Nintendo feel to it, and I love it. May it continue.
I keep hoping for another puppet presentation.
When did they do the puppets?
I forget. It was 3DS, Wii U, maybe era. I just didn't care.
But there was a Reggie puppet, wasn't
there? Yeah, there was Reggie. There was a Wada. They had a whole bunch of puppets.
Really?
It was great. We need more of those.
I love it.
Number five on the Roper Report. World Health Organization has listed two gaming-related health disorders. This is via IGN. The World Health Organization will list gaming disorder and hazardous gaming as health disorders in its International Compendium of Diseases. Part of WHO's first major update to the compendium since 1992, gaming disorder is listed as an addictive behavior alongside gambling, while hazardous gaming is a pattern of gaming behavior, quote, that appreciably increases the risk of harmful physical or mental health. Gaming disorder could well be seen as linked to the controversy around loot boxes and what constitutes gambling in gaming. Hazardous gaming is reminiscent of cases where individuals have died after extreme gaming sessions. Both disorders are currently part of the draft of the compendium update, meaning their specifics could change before publication.
So that means that this is actually something you could be diagnosed with by a doctor.
Sure.
You have gaming disorder.
Yeah. Hazardous gaming. That's the one you're going to get.
Right.
Yeah, because you'll be playing your HQ all the time.
I think of the two, I'd be more of a likely to be susceptible to... Because the gaming disorder... That's the one that's kind of gambling, right? See, I don't really do that because I reject loot boxes in all its forms.
Sure.
That was another nice thing that happened over the holidays as well. I don't know if you covered it already, that Apple is cracking down on that now. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Came up with a new rule for the App Store that if you put in a game that has loot boxes or any kind of randomized, you know, money incentive things that you buy and you open a blind bag or a box or whatever,
yeah,
they now, the company now has to publish kind of the loot, the statistical loot table.
Oh, like China, like how China has.
So you've got to be transparent in, you know, if the legendary item, you've got like a billion to one chance of getting it, they have to admit that now. They've put that up front. So there are, we're starting to see some pushback on that. And this is maybe a part of that. I don't know. The hazardous gaming, as someone who used to play World of Warcraft, I totally recognize it. I remember the days when dishes would pile up in the sink and my dog had pissed on the floor because I'd forgotten to take him out.
Yeah.
It becomes all encompassing.
That could fall in a gaming disorder though. It's listed as an addictive behavior.
Yeah. Well, so, maybe it's a bit of both.
A little bit of both. Yeah. I don't know.
I wonder what will be the first diagnosed case. Someone will be become a celebrity, I guess, if they chose to admit that.
People have died diagnosed from gaming sessions and all that stuff before. We just like, eh, that guy should have got up.
Has that ever happened here or only in like Korea and places like that?
I don't know. Kind of funny. What do you think? Anybody died playing games in America?
What do you think about this? Do you think this is legitimate? These are real concerns?
Sure. I mean, if we're going to sit here and say that we have to worry about loot boxes and gambling and all that stuff in games, which you do, I think then, yeah, this is a real thing. And I think, but it's just, the problem is, where is the line between gaming disorder is its own thing and then having an addictive personality and an addiction problem is a different thing? And I don't know. Because an alcoholic is addicted to alcohol, right?
If you have an addictive personality, that is something that can be exploited. Like, let's say that I've come into the world, I'm a grown up, and I have an addictive personality, but I don't yet know how that's going to manifest or be fed. It could be through drink. It could be because I walk past a blackjack table. Oh, I'll give this a try. Next thing you know, a mortgage in my house. Whatever it might, or it could be any number of those things. I think people that are alcoholics are also probably quite likely to be compulsive gamblers if given the opportunity. And so I think, you know, just in general, anything that involves you sitting on the couch for like 12 hours at a time without a break, doing nothing, staring at a screen, again, we know that can't be healthy, right? We know it's not. It's proven at this point. You've got to move around a bit. And also, you should probably go out, leave the house, and interact with real people at some point. I agree with you. Yeah. But for your own health, you probably should.
Sure.
So I don't know. Maybe if this kind of shines a light on it and helps, you know, make people think a bit more about what they're doing.
A bunch of people had written in asking for our opinions. I don't want to say like they were blowing it off or anything like that, but I think it might as well be in there. People need to be aware that gaming can be like that. That you can be spending too much time playing your games. You can be doing this in an unhealthy fashion. I've definitely had the 18-hour day of sitting there, right? And you get up and your eyes are all like wobbly. And like,
I got to admit, I got a little bit of it going on right now with Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
Okay, but you can move around while you play that, you know?
You can. Well, that's a nice thing about a mobile game.
Yeah.
But I definitely, like, that game is now embedded enough in my brain that every day I know I've got to go check on my... 44.
Ooh, wow.
I gotta go check on my camp buddies. I gotta water my plants. It's woven into the fabric of my day. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is check my phone for any crafting projects that I've completed overnight. Want to add them to my camp.
When we can craft clothes, I bet it'll come back hard.
For you?
Yeah, because I just want to be able. I want to have cool outfits.
It's not back yet, but it's coming. The clothes crafting.
Yeah. And that it's I don't know that Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. I love it.
Yeah.
Even though it's not that great of a game. But it's just the fact that I run hot and cold on it. Where there's days where I can't get enough of it, and there's other days where I can't even bother to open it.
I mean, really, you know, I've played it enough now that I understand exactly what's going on. And you're right, it's not that great of a game. No. It's a very simple fetch quest game. Go fetch a bunch of apples, bring them back, I'll give you some stuff. You can use that to make other stuff. And round and round you go, ad infinitum. But it works.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's whatever. I feel like when I'm wasting time in it, in quotes. If I'm on my phone doing something, right? Like, I'd also be on funny GIFs on Reddit looking through. If I'm getting enjoyment out of
that's
that,
basically,
why, you know
that's
what I mean?
Basically
like,
what it is.
It's, yeah. like I'm putting
it's,
off.
It's comfort gaming.
Exactly.
It's not terribly challenging, but it's familiar and comforting, and you like it's fun to be in that world because it's, you know, Animal Crossing is just a nice place to be.
Just a beautiful place.
To escape from the horrors of the real world you know, to go to your little virtual
And they're
campsite.
Just one app away. All the horrors are one app away on your phone. If you ever want to go back to the horrors, they're right there for you. Final item on the Roper Report, number six. I'm calling it Good Guy Xbox, but it starts from them being Bad Guy Xbox. This is via IGN and Reddit. Microsoft has pulled down a Player Unknown's Battlegrounds adverts from its social media channels after the creator of a fan concept complained about striking similarities to their work. Reddit user Maxter had created a concept advert for the Xbox One version of PUBG that garnered tens of thousands of views, then noticed that Microsoft's social channels had posted an advert with near identical assets. You want to toss it up there? Kevin, if you're
so which is the I'm looking at it, which is the one that Microsoft put this up, and which is the original
right
fan made?
Don't
one.
Do anything yet. This is the top one here is the one that Maxter put up, and it's funny that I'm in here because this was news to me. I remember when Maxter put up the post, being like, "Hey, Xbox ripped me off," and there's more to follow. So this is the original one.
That's
right
the
here.
Original fan made image.
And if you're at home, if you're in your car driving, imagine an Xbox One S, right? Yeah, with like PUBG grass and the guy and a guy on, so imagine the Xbox One S, the top of it is the PUBG grass and there's a dude like walking through it and then it's just like blue sky.
Yeah, so it's like the Xbox is like a litter box.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
exactly.
But instead of the kitty litter, you've got like a field of wheat and a PUBG character.
So that was the fan made
it.
One scroll
it's
down
it's a clever concept.
It's a really
like
good
it.
One. It's so clever that yeah, scroll down
okay,
that's what Xbox did. You see the Xbox One S.
So this is the one that Xbox Marketing put up.
This is the real one. The Xbox One X put up this one here. Xbox official Twitter tweeted it out. Loot, land, loot, survive. And it's pretty much this different angle of it, barely. And it's the grass.
It'd be difficult to make the argument that you came up with that completely independently.
That's the
it's
problem.
Possible, right?
It's totally possible because it's
two
a great
people can
idea.
Have the same idea, but
exactly.
You look at that and go, that's a bit cheeky. Plus, I'd also say, credit to the guy that created it, the original one's better.
I agree. I like the top one better than I like the bottom one. But I'd seen this guy post on Reddit being like, oh my God, this is pretty much my ad that I came up with. I never saw this because I had moved on with my life. Major Nelson popped into that thread and wrote, hey guys, I wanted to let you know that this is being investigated. In the meantime, our official channels have pulled down the asset in question. I'll follow up with the OP, Maxter, once I get more details.
You know, this is actually something that's very prevalent in advertising circles right now. Someone comes up with like a viral YouTube video, mm-hmm. like a clever gimmick, whatever it might be, a clever little image or a vine or something, and someone on Madison Avenue or in ad agency in London will see it, grab it, put into their ad without any, and they get called on this kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, an ad's on TV, it becomes popular, and then someone pops up and says, hold on, that is exactly like a YouTube video. Like, and again, some of them are so close, there's no, oh, maybe two people had the same idea. Like, it's the exact same, very specific, very clever idea.
Yeah.
Where there's no parallel development happens all the time, but sometimes they go, no, dude, you just ripped that off. And they do it unapologetically.
I thought it was cool that Major Nelson popped in to say something and take it down.
So they did take it down. Okay.
Yeah, not cool that somebody somewhere ripped this idea off or whatever. But.
So someone's potentially in trouble for ripping that off if they actually are going to look into it. Hey, did you rip this off, dude?
No, what are you talking about? Yeah. Let me see your Reddit account. Let me see your Reddit history. Where you been upvoting? What are you doing over there? Hold on a second. Yeah, well, whatever. Gary, it's 2018. A lot of games are going to be coming out, and I'm excited for those games. But those games that I'm excited about aren't here yet. If I wanted to know what was out today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts. That's you and me, each and every weekday.
This is not a great week, guys. As you would expect, right after Christmas. And
this week between, I mean, we're past it now, but that week between Christmas and New Year is hard to get through, isn't it?
Wasn't even worth living.
Do you struggle with that week the way I and many others do?
Sure. Because it's just like, it's the 27th?
Like, Christmas is over. You're kind of over that.
Yeah.
But you're not ready to go back to normal life yet. It's just this kind of weird.
And then New Year's is too close to returning to work.
Right.
Even though New Year's is fun, it's like, well, I'm going to be hungover, and then I got to go to work the next day. Like, I don't know what's going on. Out today, and I'm including a game from Monday, Barbarian Souls on PC, then really out today. There was nothing apparently yesterday, according to Kotaku's article. Outbreak, the new nightmare on Xbox One.
Do you know what that is, Outbreak?
No idea. No.
Okay.
No, don't know.
So probably another zombie.
There's
game.
A new nightmare.
Oh, so this is a... So there was a previous nightmare.
Maybe
this
not.
Is newer.
There might not be. Because you think it would be Outbreak 2,
suggests,
the new nightmare.
Yeah, it suggests that
kinda
there
like
is...
Kind of like Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Yeah, but it could also be like one of those sequels that doesn't have the number. They just have the...
It could be, but I just feel like that's bad marketing.
Well, I have to check it out now.
New dates for you. Monster Hunter World is coming to PC in the fall. Legend of Bumbo was pushed to the first half of 2018. A leak from the Japanese eShop makes it look like Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battles expansion pass. The first story DLC for it is coming at the end of June, at least in Japan. And then... Real wrestlers, real moves, real drama. New Japan Pro Wrestling is entering the ring when Fire Pro Wrestling World hits PlayStation 4 this summer.
You're excited about that one, right?
Very excited
You like your wrestling games?
Yeah, I do. And Fire Pro is a fun one. Fire Pro is like, yeah, it's complicated, but it's fun. And it looks like,
how does that compare to the WWE games?
This looks like it's running on a Genesis or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? It's those kind of like pixely people.
Oh, this is much more old fashioned style.
Yeah, exactly. And whereas like, you know, this is what everybody should do at 2K with this franchise of WWE is stop trying to make a
FIFA.
Hey, we're making a sim version of wrestling. They should make it just look like WrestleMania 2000. This is more of like, hey, we have cartoony characters.
The WWE games, you can't just go in there and like mash buttons and have a good time.
Everything
is like combos and finesse moves.
You can go in there and mash buttons and have a good time.
I want to play a wrestling game, but I want one that I don't have to. There doesn't have a lot of technical barrier to learning how to play. I want to get in there and just start smacking people around.
Sure.
Can you not do that?
You could do that in the WWE games, but you know, you're not going to know how to do your special moves, get out of the ring, climb off the ropes, pick up your chair, wedge at the table.
Do they have like a dummy mode for me?
They probably do.
Like FIFA has like a two-button mode for real dummies.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever play WWE All-Stars?
No.
That's what you're describing. That was like, hey, we take the wrestlers and jack them all up and make them look like action figures and they just do crazy cool shit.
What was that on?
PS3. 360, okay. It was that generation.
Yeah, I wish those, because I used to love like NFL Blitz, NHL Hits, those kind of games where it was just really simple, big hits, big action.
Yeah.
Like there was still skill involved in the game, but you didn't have to know like a lot of complex combos to play the game. It was just more about the, just the kind of visceral feeling of it. I wish that kind of gaming would come back.
I hear you. Maybe 2018 is the year of it.
Everything's too simmy now. Everything is like so simulated.
That was the thing, right? It's like, oh, we can make the games look as real life, so the gameplay should be that way too.
I don't agree with that.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like, I feel like
I miss the days of like sensible soccer and those kind of games where you could just like move the ball around quickly and score, and there was still a lot of skill.
Yeah.
After touch, you know, you could bend the ball and do all this kind of cool stuff.
Bend it like Beckham.
Yeah, but the game moved quickly, and it felt like more like a pinball kind of feeling. And FIFA, I mean, I've been playing FIFA over the holidays, and it does really, it's remarkable how much it looks like, you know, just watching a televised game now.
Yeah.
But they are hard to play because they've built so many levels and layers of, they seem to be aimed more at, you know, kind of pro players. But sometimes you want to be able to just hand the controller to someone who's never, the good thing about sports games is people understand the underlying, like, oh, no, if you've come over to my house and you never played FIFA, but I give you a controller, you're not going to say, what am I supposed to do? You already know. Get the ball in the other guy's neck.
How do I run? Yeah.
Like, you understand the rules of the game already, but then how do you express that as a controller?
I don't think anybody understands the rules of soccer.
Really?
The clock just counts up. It never ends. You never know where you're at in the game.
You don't like that the clock counts up instead of down,
it doesn't even matter. I'm like, when's it end? Like, oh, they might add time to it. I'm like, how do you decide?
You don't like that the end of the game could happen at any moment.
Yeah, I don't know.
That keeps you on the edge.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
Deals of the day for you. The PSN holiday sale is still on. You can get the Uncharted collection for $8, Bloodborne for $14, and there's a bunch of other deals.
I got Yakuza 0 half price over the holidays on that sale.
Got to do it.
Yeah.
You enjoying Yakuza?
I just started it, but yeah.
Good game.
Yeah. Basically GTA, but in Japan? Is that what it is, or is it different than that?
It's not.
Because I haven't played enough to get a full handle on it yet.
I'll get yelled at by people. It's basically that.
Okay.
In a nutshell, sure. It's not as, like, it's not as complex as GTA.
I like that it's all in Japanese with English subtitles.
Oh, sure,
it feels more authentic that way. It would have felt kind of crappy if they dubbed it into English.
Yakuza games are great.
Yeah. My first one, but it's,
oh really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, see, that was my problem.
Well, because somebody said to me that Yakuza 0 was a good entry
jumping
point.
Game. It is. People gave me crap because when Yakuza 0 came, I played it for a little bit, and then like a Gamescast, I was like, yeah, I played a bit of Yakuza 0. It's more Yakuza, and everyone's like, wah! And I'm like, guys, I like Yakuza. I just reviewed a whole bunch of them at IGN, and then have played since then. It's just like, it's always just iterating on the same thing. And it's like, I know what's going
on. I watched someone on a Japanese Twitch channel playing one of the Yakuza games. It wasn't Zero. It was some other game. It was a previous one. But I remember it was like, it struck me as really funny.
Oh,
like,
yeah. They're hilarious. Yeah. I mean, I remember the first one I ever played was the first one I ever reviewed for IGN. And I don't remember which number it was. But like, there's this old woman on a scooter. And she's riding and she sees somebody she likes and she gets like the hard eyes and hits something and does like a perfect spin in the air. And Kazuma brings out his phone and goes and takes like a photo of it. And it was like, What the fuck am I playing?
I remember something. I remember the one I was watching was like an old drunk guy in a tracksuit was like trying to fight.
Oh yeah, that's every if you're wandering around the red light district, you know, people just want to fight you for no reason. And you charge it up and you're picking up motorcycles and slamming them. Like these games are great.
I'm excited to play more. It's gonna be fun.
January also got some PlayStation Plus deals, of course, or your free PlayStation Plus games for January went live while we were gone. So we're bringing you in that you can get them right now. Starblood Arena on PlayStation VR. Deus Ex Mankind Divided on PlayStation 4. Batman, the Telltale Series, Season 1 on PlayStation 4. Sacred 3 on PlayStation 3. The Book of Unwritten Tales 2 on PlayStation 3. Psycho Pass Mandatory Happiness on PlayStation Vita, which is crossed by with PlayStation 4. And Uncanny Valley on PlayStation Vita, which is crossed by with PlayStation 4.
Do you know what the Book of Unwritten Tales is?
Mm-mm.
Because sometimes I get attracted just by like an intriguing title.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, I don't know what that is, but it kind of
sounds like a JRPG.
It sounds like it could be fun.
Take a shot. Let us know.
I'm going to take
a look. Give us your
review. I'm going to take a look.
Meanwhile, Xbox Games with Gold were also announced. The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 3 is going to be available for free January 1st through the 31st on Xbox One. Zombie, available January 16th through February 15th on Xbox One. Tomb Raider Underworld, available January 1st through the 15th on Xbox One and Xbox 360. And then Army of Two,
available
January 16th through the 31st on Xbox One and Xbox 360.
What is Zombie?
Zombie was Zombie U.
Oh, it was Zombie U.
The Wii U launch game that they eventually dropped the U from and started putting out on.
That was pretty good. It was all right. I like that it was set in London.
I got my butt chewed for that one at IGN by the audience because I was like, this game sucks. I reviewed it.
Didn't like it?
No, it was like the tablet. It was annoying. It was frustrating. I didn't like it. I forget. Okay. It's been too long now. I just remember I don't like it and I got yelled at for it, but I don't remember what my exact
opinion. But most people liked it, right? It was well received generally.
It was mediocrely received. There were it was one of those games where there was people who loved it and people who hated it. Which I guess is video
and you were, and you were in the latter.
I was camp, in, I, and it wasn't. I hated it. It was funny. I remember there was some game recently we were talking shit about on the show. I was like, I reviewed it and it sucked. And somebody sent me the review. I think it was Trevor Starkey. It was like I gave it like a 7.1. And that's like how we talk about games and then how you try to critically review games. I mean, it's a yes or a no when you play a video game, right?
Yes, a binary.
But it's like when you're actually trying to be like, well, I'm giving this game a shot. It's not broken. I would assume Zombie U was in a 6 range for me, maybe a 5.5. I don't know. I'm sure somebody will tell me and you're wrong. Just one of you, please, tell me what I gave Zombie U on IGN.com.
I never played Army of Two. Was that any good? The concept was interesting, and it now seems like it might be coming back with a way out.
Yeah, exactly.
The two man combo.
It was fun co-op, Kev. Yeah, I think I might have done it for like a let's play, but I don't remember ever actually getting.
Never
into
took
it.
Off though, did it? No. It was one and done.
No, they did another one.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
What do they call that? Army of Two Two.
No, it was Army of Two, somebody's a revenge or some shit like that. I don't remember what it was. I'm sure, again, kindoffunny.com/hero. Javier writes in and says, welcome back, guys. 2017 has been a great year for you guys, and I'm confident 2018 will be even brighter. Did you guys make it through your backlog of games during break? Did you finish Nier Automata? Did Greg beat Persona 5, parentheses, oh, wait, he's never going to beat it. Can't wait to see what 2018 has in store for you guys. Greetings from Florida. What did you play over break?
You know, the game backlog is always a sore point for me. We were just talking about before the show. It's an embarrassment sometimes. You know, these games that I want to play.
Pile of shame, yeah.
Well, let me tell you though, what I played over the holiday. I cracked the shell on Yakuza 0.
Yep.
Again, still in the kind of the early part of the game, but getting into that. You know what we did? You'll appreciate this. What we bought over the holidays, partly because I saw you guys having so much fun playing it. Overcooked.
Oh, yes.
So they had a deal, and if they still have it over the holidays on Xbox Live, if you have gold, they had a deal. You could get Overcooked Gourmet Edition with all the DLC for $7.
It's right now, it's in that PlayStation Network holiday sale I was talking about. I couldn't see the price because I had already purchased
it. And we had people over for the holidays, so I thought, you know, I've got 4 controllers. Let's give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, who is 7, so my daughter, who's 5,
yeah,
and she knows her way around an Xbox controller, and my dad, who's 70, and honestly has no idea how
to
work.
He does not know his way around this controller.
Everybody was, it was me, my wife, my 5-year-old daughter, and my 70-year-old dad, all playing Overcooked and just having a riot. You know what it's like when Overcooked
is. Oh, Overcooked's awesome, yeah.
Shouting at each other, get out of my way, I need more lettuce over here.
Yeah, why are you toast on the ground?
No, what are you doing? Oh my God, no, get out. Just, it's brilliantly.
The music's ramping up, you're freaking out.
It's a great piece of game design. I love how every level is designed to make it as difficult as possible. They create the bottlenecks and just the shifting.
Yeah.
Oh no!
Yeah, you're running into each other.
You know, if you want that image of everyone on the couch going, that you never really seems to happen except in like advertising.
Yeah. Images, your Sears catalog
that
picture.
Game absolutely delivers it. I loved it. Overcooked was probably the big hit over the holidays, along with Zoo Tycoon of all things. My kid loves making zoos.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, fun to just put it in sandbox mode, just create. We played some Jackbox
nice
party packs because they're, again, when you've got people over, they're lots of fun.
Yeah.
My backlog is, I've got to get to Injustice 2. I've got to get to Nier Automata. I've got to get to Persona 5.
Yeah.
I've still got to get to Horizon Zero Dawn. My backlog. And then a bunch of indies. I just started playing Gorogoa on my phone.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one, right?
Beautiful and fantastic and trippy.
Puzzle game, if you don't know, you have to figure out how the different images connect to make the puzzle go.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I love that it doesn't give you any help, right? Nope. You just got to figure out.
Fuck it.
The first 5 minutes, like, am I stupid? I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing.
Where's the start
screen? And then you just slide one thing over and it,
Yeah.
And then you start to understand it. Very cleverly designed game.
Yeah.
But like a bunch of really good indies that I need to play. Like all through, I won't do the whole list is too embarrassing, but I've got a bunch of stuff
I need to catch up on. No progress in my backlog.
You didn't play games over the holiday?
I was on the road for the majority of it.
Yeah.
And
I guess
so it was that I was going to Chicago and then going to Vermont. And I was like, I'm not going to bring the console because I know I'm not going to be sitting around the house in Chicago.
You took your Switch though, surely.
Oh, I took my Switch and my Vita. This was my chance to reconnect. I had a lovely romantic week with my Vita.
I am convinced that the Vita is a figment of your imagination. That what other people see when you're playing the Vita is you like that.
Yeah.
Nothing in your hands.
How do you argue?
And it's like
then,
a beautiful mind kind of thing.
How do you argue with the platinum trophies I grabbed? All right? Because that's what I want to talk to you about of what I did.
I think it's all a figment of your imagination. See, I don't think the Vita ever really happened. It only happened in your mind.
No, we all, the Vita Island people understand. Played Valhalla. You heard of this game?
Valhalla?
Yeah. But spelled all weird like that. It's a cyberpunk bartending game.
Okay.
And it was, I had been sold on this idea on Vita? Like 2 or 3 packs ago. Oh no, it's been on PC forever. And then it finally came to PlayStation 4 and Vita.
Okay.
But it was in I went through that platinum, that guy.
Okay.
Cause what it's one of those, you know, not visual novels, but visual novels where it's like, hey, this person comes in and tells you a story and then orders a drink and
you build a drink and you give it to them. Yeah. I've seen this. Yeah.
Great time. Platinumed it. Really enjoyed that one. I put on, how would you say it? Exeon Valley? I can never. Xenon Valley. Thank you. Xenon Valkyrie Plus. Wasn't for me. It's a, you know, platforming, but it's like roguelike where you keep coming back with like you know, what you get, you go and apply and come back and try to do it again.
I think the sooner you snap out of this fever dream.
Papers, Please.
Papers, Please.
Yeah,
that's
Vita.
On the Vita.
Yeah, it's finally. This one took forever. No platinum trophy, but I had fun. Played more Shoe. This, I tweeted you about this one. I bought Energy Cycle on the Vita, which is a terrible platinum
but
trophy.
Let me guess,
grab.
Easy trophies.
Yeah, but I already did it on PlayStation 4, but it's got a separate list on Vita. So I bought it. I bought it again on Vita, and then did it again to get the platinum trophy.
Yeah, we were just talking earlier about gaming disorder. This is an as yet undiagnosed category.
Hey man, I'm obsessed. They know it. Played Burly Men at Sea. Did you ever play this game? It was like, I guess Time Magazine's game of the year last year.
Yeah, it's
year
on iOS, right?
Yeah. Now it's finally on Vita, so now it's a real game.
Okay.
Played that, enjoyed that.
Games are still coming out for the Vita.
Yeah, it's all indie stuff.
On the
though,
online
usually.
Store.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then finished Life is Strange Before the Storm, which wasn't on my backlog list, but
that's
did it.
Life is Strange is on my backlog as well.
And then Big Kev Dog and I were playing a ton of GTA online. Woo! I'm into it. I'm in. I
mean, play any Switch stuff?
Not really. No, I played some Mario.
Took it with you, but didn't play.
Yeah, well, it was like I had the Vita with me, and I had these platinum trophies to get, and it was just like, it's not that the Switch doesn't speak to me, or I love my Switch so much, but I gave Mario and Zelda a healthy chunk of time, and Mario's going to be there for a long, long time. Me trying to get all these moons, I wanted to run and do that.
What do you most want to clear off the backlog? Like, what do you really want? Like, if someone said to you, okay, Greg, we're going to dump you on a desert island for a week with all your backlog games.
Sure.
What would you want to tackle the most?
I mean, I would do Persona 5.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that is the perfect situation. If I hadn't found the love of my life, Genevieve St. Ange, and went away with her for the holidays, I would have done the normal thing where my family's like, are you coming home? I'm like, no, fuck off. And I hang up on them. And I would have sat there for 2 weeks and probably just played Persona like Joey did. But the problem is that Persona is just such a... I know how many hours I got to put in that game, and I just don't have that many hours.
I've never
around.
Played a Persona game. Would I like Persona 5?
Yes, you're going to love Persona 5. You got to play it.
Okay.
Persona 5 is great. Amazing game.
Okay.
Okay. 10 minutes left.
Are there any deals on that right now, Persona 5?
I don't know.
Just, I gotta check this. I'll check the PSN store.
You,
when
you're
I get
still
home.
Getting. You're still getting the Star Wars money. It's raining down on you. Just,
I like, but I still. You like. I like my deals. I love it.
You're cutting out your coupons before going to the store.
I'm not. You know, I'm telling you. My wife and I were going through the Target coupon book that came in the mail yesterday.
Nice.
50 cents off of. Whatever, you get excited about it. Say,
hell yeah.
My mother always used to say, look after the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves. So you gotta be penny wise.
I got you. Well,
not that penny wise.
I know. I was gonna stop. Don't worry about it. Jared writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg. And I assume Mr. Witta. How do you think holiday events should be handled in games? I ask this because over the winter period, I saw two examples of a holiday event. In Destiny 2, we had the Dawning, where you could earn some in-game items through play, but most were locked behind Eververse and microtransactions. On the opposite side, there was Paragon, where if you played 20 games a week, you would earn every Winterfest skin from the last year and three new ones from this year. Blah, 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 blah. He keeps talking about this stuff. Nobody cares about skins. I would love to hear your thoughts on what you think the best way to handle holiday events are. Should the items be realistically obtainable through play? Should some be behind microtransactions, etc.? What would your ideal holiday event be?
I'm not sure if that applies to specifically holiday events. You know, should stuff be locked behind, you know, microtransactions and what have you? But in general, I love the holiday events. I love it when the games do the seasonal things. Like Team Fortress Halloween is always fun. You know, the holidays Overwatch always has fun seasonal skins.
I think the most exciting thing about it is, like, it's a game you love, and then suddenly it's at... I mean, I know this sounds stupid for something like Destiny, but the reminder that the game is live. Like, there's... Right. This is... It knows what's happening.
It gives you a sense of community. It's something... Everyone's celebrating the same thing.
I really loved Animal Crossing Pocket Camp's holiday event.
Did you go and get all the holiday items?
Oh, I tried. I mean, I had the tree. I had the Mountain of Presents.
Oh, I got everything.
It was that thing where I was like... I was just like... How am I? Well, I just can't get the candy canes fast enough to get out here and get this stuff. You know
you
got to
commit. You got to play.
I had my hat. That's what I wanted. I mean, I played. I got what I wanted. You know what I mean? I built out.
I got every single holiday item. Now they've got New Year items as well.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I used to love it in Warcraft when they have the Feast of Winter's Vale, I believe it's called in Warcraft.
Okay.
Christmas time.
Sure.
And Great Father Winter comes to Ironforge and there's a bunch of silly... holiday events, and you know, you never get anything significant, just little charms and seasonal pets and trinkets and things, but it's just, again, it's something that everyone takes, just like a real holiday, it's something that everyone takes part in communally, and everyone's in the spirit of doing silly fun stuff together. It's great.
Another game, you know, I played over break more was I went back and I'm still playing Hot Shots Golf Everybody's Golf on PlayStation 4 because I just love that franchise and that game.
Yeah.
And like when I signed back in December and went in there and I was like, oh man, what have they added for customization? They add hats and like the Santa outfit. I was like, oh, right. Like, this isn't like all the other Hot Shots I usually play where it's like it's out and it's done and now it's dead and nobody plays it. Like, this is a community and there are online tournaments. There is this. It's like, that's fun. That's exciting. That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't mind for like in Hot Shots, I think I paid for the hat, right? I think maybe. I don't remember. And it might have been in-game currency, might have been real money, but whatever. And it was the same thing. I thought Animal Crossing did a great job of like, here's your, just go get more candy canes and you'll get out there.
Yeah, and they didn't gate it in any way. They just gave you extra.
Yeah, you couldn't buy it.
They gave you bonus holiday currency whenever you completed a quest. But yeah, I mean, even Overcooked, Festive Seasoning, you know, there's all these different. I love it when they add these things. I love the holidays. I love these events. It's really only Halloween and Christmas. I mean, the games don't really do like things for Easter, do they?
It'll be interesting if Animal Crossing does. I wouldn't put it past Animal Crossing.
Yeah, maybe.
Because like
Animal Crossing is very much about the passing of the seasons and seasonal events.
That was always the thing.
That's always baked into their DNA. And then sometimes, you know, like Warcraft, I think I'm right in saying Warcraft has events that are not tied into the real world, but like things that like holidays in Azeroth, they're in game, but they're still for everyone, timed events.
And
again, it's fun. It gives you something to, again, everyone kind of comes together and snowball, silly snowball fights you have outside, Stormwind. And so it's all good fun.
Yeah. Time to squat up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, your username, your platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everyone plays games together.
I like this. I just read this one. I like this one.
Hass. Hass. Writes in. Yeah, so I guess it's Hass. He needs help on PlayStation 4. His PSN name, Techie Hass. Jesus Christ. TECHYHASS. Techie Hass. Says, I just got my PlayStation 4 Pro and I have no friends on it yet. Period. Actually, that's exclamation it. Point. Good
he
enough.
Just want some friends.
Just get in there. Everybody go find Techie Has. Find maybe out what they play.
Maybe I'll send him a friend request.
You won't.
I might.
I know you won't. Don't get his hopes up. He's at home right now, hoping you will.
Why don't you have any faith in me to do that?
Because I just know how busy you are. I know what you're
up to. I'll do it right now from the app on my phone.
There's your phone right there. You looked around like you don't know where your phone is. It's right in front of you. Come on, tough guy.
It's blocked by the mic. I will do it.
You said you do it right now, but you're not going to do it right now.
Well, because I'm in airplane mode and I'm on air. I'm trying to be a professional. Okay. But as soon as we go off air, I will send that guy a friend request.
You did send that one guy a birthday message on Twitter, which is pretty clutch.
Yes, because I do these things. Yeah. I'm a good person. I try to be.
All right, jumping into this, kindoffunny.com. This is You're Wrong. This is where people watching live, they go to kindoffunny.com/You're Wrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screw it up. That way we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Big Daddy Wolf writes in and says, you have to keep the beard for 2 months, Greg. That's not correct. Kevin, is that correct? That doesn't sound correct.
We got
the beard thermometer right here from yesterday.
Gonna be 100% honest. I feel like no one checked that.
We hit it 1 month. Nobody told me. It was. We had to go up $1,000.
I asked Joey several times, like, hey, did we go up another month? And she was like, I'm going to check that in a little bit.
This might be moot. I mean, you might decide that you like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, maybe I like it. But don't try to pin me down on that one.
No, you got to take it off.
Kitten Tactics wrote in and says, Snake was in Super Smash Brothers Brawl on the Wii. I guess you said something there.
Well, that was the Solid Snake. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seeperon says, the puppets weren't that long ago. They were at Nintendo's 2015 E3 for Star Fox Zero. Okay.
Okay.
So now I'm begging you guys, just read what the other person said, though. Okay. Lord of Pwn says, in years past, Nintendo has had big directs in January, such as 2013, 2015, and the Switch presentation last year. The current rumor is January 11th for the Nintendo event. We understand that. No, I don't like that one. Somebody put Ignacio Rojas puts in a thing of people, a list of people who have died playing video games. I asked, did it happen in America? Did not answer that. Now, MU's Kilth says, Gary's been a proper co-host for a while. It's his job to read these. Please pass it over, Greg. I don't know if you're up to the challenge to read your wrongs? I don't know.
No, I thought that was your job.
No, every other co-host does it, but I just treat you with such respect and reverence that I don't make you do
it. Wait, the co-host usually reads your wrongs?
Yeah.
Why didn't you ask me to do it then?
I don't know, you're busy. I'm scared of you, sure.
I'll read one.
Do I make Anthony do it?
Do you want me to read one?
No, because I want... The other thing, too, is you'll just read them all. We got to keep it going. You know what I mean? Some of these kids are writing in. They're assuming.
Okay.
Oh. Blanket Fort writes in, and this is not something that's wrong. We're not wrong about this, but this is...
I like it already.
Greg, the Book of Unwritten Tales is an easy platinum. Get at it.
Oh!
All right.
It was going to be actually interesting.
Shredberg says, I gave Zombie U a 6.3. Thank you very much. Vanilla Gorilla says, it was Army of Two, the Devil's Cartel. There we go.
Okay.
Barrick says the PlayStation blog's wrong and that Psycho Pass Mandatory Happiness is not cross-buy with PlayStation 4 via the PlayStation Plus stuff. Oh! Slick Rick corrects that. You're wrong to say the sequel to Army of Two was called Army of Two, the 40th Day. There was even a third game in the series called Army of Two, the Devil's Cartel.
Oh, okay.
Big Daddy Wolf says,
I never heard of either of those.
Persona 5 is currently on sale for only $30.
Ooh, okay. Maybe I'll get it.
Okay, good. And then I appreciate that Peppermint Gentleman put in a You're Wrong and then edited it to say already addressed and I don't know how to delete this. Sorry. That's fine. Good enough. That's what we
got.
Okay,
so I can get Persona, what is that, like half price, 30 bucks?
30 bucks, yeah. That's it.
All right. Okay.
Cool.
That's the last thing in my backlog that I don't
own.
We were joking about this before the show. Like,
you're just going to keep buying stuff and tossing it on the pile.
You get the game because you think, okay, that I'm one step closer to getting it off my backlog. I've acquired it.
Yeah.
But that's not the real step. The real step is actually finding the time to sit down and really play it.
Right.
And Persona 5 is a big game, right?
That's why you
take
a
long time to play through
that.
You won't beat it. Why not?
People called me on it. You won't beat
it. Why do you just keep... Why is this all about you suddenly telling me all the things that I'm not going to do?
Because I know you, Gary Witta.
You don't know me. You think you do.
You have no idea. This is the diary of Gary Witta.
I'm sorry. So what I'm getting is a picture of someone who doesn't follow through on the things they say they're going to do.
No! I'm just saying, I think you're underestimating how... I mean, you haven't even played Horizon yet. At least
no, but
Horizon's a conquerable
number. I have a reason for that because I really want to wait until I get a pro and play it with all the bells and whistles. I have an excuse, I don't have a pro. I have one X, but I don't have a pro.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, please head over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Subscribe. We're so close to 230,000 subs. It would mean a lot to us. Remember, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow, Andrea Renee returns to the show to see what's up. Talk about what's good. Remember, of course, a whole bunch of stuff happened and changed yesterday. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to read all about it, hear about the PlayStation VR show, watch the Extra Life documentary, and then this afternoon catch the Gamescast live recording, Game of the Year discussions. Until next time, I'm Greg, that's Gary, and it's been our pleasure to serve you.